There is a sermon outline inside your worship folder. If you would choose to follow along with the sermon in that way, just kind of pull it out and you can follow along if you choose to do so. Well, there's a story in the paper about a star-struck teenager back in 1943 who was named Lorraine Wagner. And at the time, she sent a letter to the then-actor Ronald Reagan. And he wrote back a note of thanks, thanking her for the letter and the note. And for the next 50 years, Lorraine and Reagan were pen pals. He wrote to her to tell her about her career and marriage and daily life, and he did the same back. And even after Reagan was elected to become president, he and Lorraine kept in touch, kept writing on occasion. And the correspondence ended in 1995 when Reagan began to have Alzheimer's. And Lorraine said, "I've always felt he was a friend first and president second." For 52 years, just an average, everyday, ordinary citizen was a pen pal with a man who was the leader of the free world. You know, Paul says that we are better than pen pals, that we are living letters in a sense. In Paul's day, people carried letters of commendation to prove their credentials, to say who they were and what they've done. And Paul didn't have a letter of commendation. He said that the transformed lives of the believers in Corinth were his living letter, were his commendation to the people around him. So it raises this question this morning. If you think about just letters, if you were a letter today, what would that letter say about you? If you were a living letter right now, what would that letter speak about your past? The struggles, the joys, the hardships, the celebrations, and everything in between. What would this letter about your life say about your job, about you, yourself, your family, the struggles and joys? What about your faith in God? What would that letter say about your journey with Jesus? Today, the challenge isn't just that we are being called to be a living letter to the world, but the world has changed, is changing around us even now. That is our challenge today. And so the church is Christ's living letter to Corinth, unveiling Jesus not only to the world, but to us today. And here's reality. This isn't just a modern day problem. We see Paul facing a problem in 2 Corinthians 3 as well, as he points to the Old Testament, some words from the Old Testament. In fact, in Exodus 34, where Moses receives the Ten Commandments. And in this text, in the Old Testament, Moses ascends the top of Mount Sinai. After 40 days and 40 nights with God, he comes down with his face glowing from God's glory. And he puts a veil over his face. And it's often thought that this veil is to protect others from seeing God's glory. But in the New Testament, Paul almost implies that that veil is there because God's glory is fading. That he puts a filter over his face so they wouldn't see the truth, that the glory of God was fading, that the glory of God was starting to diminish. But yet Paul says in his words, something new is coming, bigger than him. As he says in 2 Corinthians 3, I'll start. I'll invite you to join with me in just a moment, where Paul says, we are not like Moses, who put a veil over his face to prevent the Israelites from seeing the end of what was passing away. But their minds were made dull. For to this day, the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. Let's join together. It has not been removed, because only in Christ is it taken away. Only in Jesus is this veil taken away. Just as the old covenant was passing away, so the glory of God was fading from his face. A reason he put this veil on was to keep them from seeing the glory fading. Problem is, with most of us here today, is we're still wearing that veil, for, you know, keeping people from seeing the real, true, authentic us. And that's the heart of this series today called Unfiltered. We live such filtered lives. We forget what the real us is anymore because we are gifted at filtering our lives. We show people the version that we want them to think of us and see of us. And that's what social media does. And technology does today is we're presenting out there a filtered view of reality. And the more filtered our lives become, the more difficult it is to be truly authentic. You know, people are starting to fear and avoid unfiltered communication. We're seeing a generation able to edit their feeds, edit pictures, edit video, and show the best versions of themselves that they want others to see of them and not see the hard stuff that we have going on in our homes and behind the camera lens, which is often a very different version of reality, again, behind closed doors. Social media, again, is that filtered view of reality, a highlight reel of a person's life. And there's a growing fear of having conversations in real life among people that you can't edit, that you can't filter. And social media is changing how we talk and how we interact with one another. In fact, just last year in 2025, 81% of millennials and 60% of Gen Z folks are anxious and dread answering the phone or having a phone call with someone else. 81%. That's almost everyone here, right? Fears having a phone call with someone. Think about all the phone calls we do get nowadays. Most of them are telemarketers, right? Should we fear them? I don't know. But think about how we communicate with others and how it has changed through the years. I have a picture kind of demonstrating that. If you think about it, the carrier pigeon at one point was the latest technology. What if we still communicate that way with others? And, from Morse code to the telegraph to the rotary phone, how many of you still have a rotary phone at home today? Anybody? There's a few of you still. And then some, remember the pagers that we had to have at the time? Then there was email and how we communicate with email. Email is almost becoming a thing of the past where people are instant messaging because it's faster, more immediate. And then there's cell phones. Those iPhones that came out that transformed life. Some of you may have had that block phone that's pictured behind me here, and it's a brick phone kind of thing. And when, think about this as well, when the phone rang years ago, people would argue, who's going to get the phone, right? And the thing about when the phone called, when the ring came over the line back years ago, 10, 20 years ago, you had to pick up the phone in order to answer it. You had to pick up the call. And then you had to talk with whoever it was on the other end. Today, when the phone rings, what happens? We have the luxury of seeing who's calling and then deciding if we want to answer that call or not. Or let it go to voicemail. There's even that term ghosting, right? And so how often do we respond to actual calls today? More often than not, instead of answering that phone, people are texting their answers back and forth. Because with a text, you can stay in control. You don't have to talk for a long period of time with another person and not knowing where that unfiltered conversation is going to go. One girl even said, I'm so nervous to talk on the phone that what I'll do is I'll script out what I'm going to say before I call somebody. If I'm going to order a pizza, I'm going to write down how I'm going to say hello, what I'm going to say, because I'm that nervous. She's not alone. 80-some percent, right, have a fear of 81% of millennials, 60% of Gen Zers, younger generations, have a fear of having a conversation on the phone. And translate that into just everyday life, person to person, having a conversation with someone standing right in front of you. And she's not alone. I mean, this is common behavior with a generation that hasn't been exposed to learning how to communicate with other people in an unfiltered way. The problem with veiled living is we have a generation who don't know how to open up with each other, don't know or don't really have the tools to know how to have a disagreement with someone else. And played out, how does this impact our relationship with Jesus? We have a people that are afraid to show others their real, true, authentic self. That you may not like what you see. A fear of rejection as well. We're so used to showing our veiled self, we forget what is truly real at the end of the day. Because the veil that covers the face eventually covers the heart. What starts as a filter over a picture, a filter over a video, a filter over a memory, ends up something more down the road. Something superficial becomes a spiritual condition. There was once an essay contest that was titled, "What is the problem with the world?" And you can imagine many submissions were handed in, and it came back with a variety of responses. What is the biggest problem in the world today? Some said hunger, some said war, some pollution, some greed, some racism, and the list is endless. But the winning essay described the problem of what is the problem with the world with the shortest essay as well. Their two-word essay was just two words. What is the problem with the world? I am. We are our own worst enemies, aren't we? At times we think that we'd be better off if we had a good look in the mirror as we look at the I am standing in front of us and stop seeing the speck in someone else's eye, as Jesus would describe it, while we've got a log dangling from our own. Paul challenges us to consider the veils that we are wearing today and to take them off. How do we do that? Well, Paul actually tells us. Do you remember what he said? It's only through Jesus that veil is removed. Our identity and who we are isn't found in the likes of this world and the followers that follow us and whether, you know, we have thousands of people following us or not. It's the love of Jesus that transforms us inside and out. Our goal should be to strive to remain faithful, not to have a blown up social media account, focusing on Him and Him alone, not worrying about what others think of us, or who's following me, or who isn't following me, who unfriended me, you know, or you get the gist. You know, we are chosen by God. His blood covers us. He unveils Himself to us. Think about that for a moment. Our new identity comes to us in and through Christ alone. As Paul says in verse 16 of our text today, let's read it together. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the cross works and transforms us inside and out as that veil that stands between us and God, that wall, that dividing wall of hostility is removed. When someone comes into the presence of Jesus, the veil is removed. So it leads us to ask this very important question today. What veil, or it could be even veils, plural, are you wearing this morning? Every single one of us has them. Everyone does. We all have these places, these hidden places that you can kind of fill in the blank. If they only knew about X, they certainly wouldn't like me or love me. For some of us, these veils are worry, anxiety, fear, stress, relationships, family issues, health issues. The list is endless. Are there places in life you fear unfiltered conversation with someone else? Or avoid talking with others about a certain topic? And the good news is Jesus is your living letter. He comes to you with a word of good news. He knows our past, our sin. He knows our veils, and He loves us anyway. He removes that veil from us as He breathes life into us, as the veil is taken away. As Paul continues in verses 7 and 18, I'll invite you to join with me in just a moment. For the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So all of us who have had that veil removed, can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. Let's join together. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like Him as we are changed into His glorious image. This is kind of the sermon in a nutshell right here. Wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Jesus is the one who removes those veils from our lives and our hearts. And verse 18, and the Lord makes us more and more like Him. As we are changed by that Spirit within us, as He is at work to transform us into His glorious image. You may remember the story by Nathaniel Hawthorne about a little kid who was living in a village in the mountains. And this mountain had a rock formation called the Great Stone Face. And the village had a legend that someday somebody would come who would look like that Great Stone Face. And he would come among them and be among them and do wonderful things. And this young boy, he loved that story. He'd often gaze at that stone face, and he dreamed of that one day, that someone coming, and one day for that person to come. Years pass. He's no longer a young boy at this point. He's now an old man. As he's hobbling down the street one day, and someone sees him and shouts, "He's come! The one who looks like the Great Stone Face is here." The man looked at the Great Stone Face for such a long time, for so long that he now bore its image. That's us. As we walk with Jesus and He with us, as we gaze into His unveiled face, as we gaze in His Word, His Spirit is changing us, transforming us inside and out, making us more and more like Him. We are changed into His glorious image. As the old hymn says, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. We spend our lifetime wrestling with removing that veil, don't we? As we relate to social media, be yourself. Don't use filters this week. And I challenge you, if the phone rings, answer it. And what's the worst that can happen? Even if it is a telemarketer, right? It's when they're talking with you, it means they're not talking with someone else. That leads us to the unfiltered challenge for this morning. It's called simply phone home. And it's simply as simple as it sounds. Call someone. A family member, a friend, someone that you haven't talked to for a while. Catch up with them. And so this week, don't just post your life. Call someone. No script, no edits, no undo button. Just an unveiled face with an open heart. As you let them see the glory of God, the love of God in you and through you. And not your glory or your love, but the living letter Himself, Jesus Christ, shining through you and in you. And how do we do this? How do we live with an unveiled face? How do we have an unveiled face? Well, through Jesus, as Paul reminds us. Show that you are a letter from the Lord, delivered and written not with ink, but with the Holy Spirit. Because where the Holy Spirit is, there's what? Freedom. Father, we come before You. In You and through You, because of You, there is freedom. This world seeks to tie us down, to get us to live with veiled faces, protected and hidden. But in You and through You, there is nothing hidden. And so we pray that through Jesus, our veils would be removed. We would learn skills and learn more and better how to just have a conversation with others, how to have conflict with other people, how to live outside of social media, to see in the real us in our relationships with others. And so be with us, Father. Thank You for unveiling Your face to us and transforming us inside and out through Jesus. Because where Your Spirit is, There's freedom. We thank you for that freedom, that joy, that love that we have in you and because of you and through you. In your name, we pray. Amen.